Welcome to Good Life. I'm Dean Wilson. So glad you're here, wherever you are. If you're joining us here in the Santa Barbara area on television, we welcome you at TVSB. And of course, so many of you are joining us from around the world at TV or at goodlifetelevision.org and at the social media platforms and at the podcast, which is Good Life Conversations. Anywhere you get your podcasts, you can search Good Life Conversations. We are having some great conversations about the good life and people who are doing great things. And we've had authors, we've had creators, we've had public servants, young people, old people. If you go to goodlifetelevision.org or the YouTube channel, you can find all those long form interviews and also a lot of power clips. So we welcome you again, wherever you are. Brought to you by Bunnen Chevrolet, our great friends, Leo Bunnen and Bunnen Chevrolet. We're grateful for them. I'm really excited about my interview. My guest today, Brittany Serpel, is with me. Brittany, welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I've been looking forward to this for a long time. Brittany is the director of family at Loving on Purpose, which is a wonderful group of people in the Sacramento area. And they are talking a lot about families. They're talking a lot about love. And my wife and I have been impacted by their work, especially my wife, who listens to the podcast and follows you and knew your husband's name. And she prepped me for this interview. So,
great.
Brittany, talk a little bit, but just before we get started on the work and kind of some of these subjects, just talk a little bit about your growing up and kind of where you came from and so forth.
Yeah, well, I am the oldest of three kids and the daughter to Danny and Sherry Silk. My parents are the founders of Loving on Purpose. I grew up in a small town called Weaverville, 3,500 people. And then we moved to Redding, California, where my parents became the family life pastors at Bethel Church. So I spent most of my teen years there. But earlier, my parents worked for group homes because my dad had his degree in social work. So I had a lot of exposure to that as a child because my parents were house parents and then group home parents and working with just the world of social work, and then they became pastors. So I have been around people that are hurting, that need God, that need restoration in family my whole life. And naturally, that's where I ended up, is doing the same type of work. I got married to my honey when we were 18 and 19.
He's
actually from Australia. So we met and stayed connected and then got married really young. We have three wonderful children, and our oldest is about to graduate high school in days, and it's wild. So, but we're about to celebrate 20 years of marriage in October. So, I mean, we do family and relationships in every aspect of our life, and I love it.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, that's wonderful. This is a big topic. The work you guys are doing, especially in this day and age, where I just believe that, and it's not like I'm not like a boogeyman guy, like there's a devil behind every bush, but I do believe the family's under attack.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think we can kind of all agree that the family unit, one of the only institutions created by God, is under attack. So talk about just 10,000 feet level, the family and the work you guys are trying to do in this area.
Yeah. Well, on our podcast, the Kylo Show, our motto is that whole healthy families are going to save the world. And that really starts with whole healthy people. And I think that's kind of the breakdown, is that we've lost, what does it mean to be a healthy person to build a healthy family? And, you know, I was looking at, we have another podcast. It's called Imperfect Parenting Podcast, where we talk just about parenting. And I was looking at some reviews, and one of them came up as, you know, we're not inclusive. We won't talk about being inclusive. And I'm like, you're right. I won't, because God's design for family is between a man and a woman. And so we need to be on the same page of what God's design for family is. And that is one of the biggest attacks that's going on. So we can sit by and do nothing and hope for the best, or we can get in there and become whole and healthy people to fight for families in God's design. And that's really what I think we're trying to do, is help people be healthy so that they can bring that to their families. Because a healthy mom and a healthy dad have the potential of raising really healthy kids, but you got to have a healthy marriage first. So the big view is, how can we help people become healthy so that they can do this well?
Right. Yeah. I've heard many times. I mean, it's not one half plus one half equals one whole. It's two wholes. Mm-hmm. And what talk about for a second, the power of love and unity over the long haul. I think about that a lot, even in friendships. I'll meet somebody, I'll meet two people that have been friends, just, you know, friends for 40 or 50 or 60 years. And I just am so drawn to that, so drawn to long-term friendship. But it's so rare. Yes. Long-term marriages are really rare.
Yeah.
but long-term friendships, you have to really talk about how do you get there? Like, if you're going to say, hey, what are some principles or thoughts on being friends for the long haul?
I think it really starts with being a person of covenant, that we understand what covenant looks like, and that, you know, God designed covenant, and he designed us to be a people of covenant, which means that, you know, we follow through with what we say we're going to do. We abide by his laws of the land and stay connected to his heart. So I think that most people don't understand what it means to have covenant. We're in such a instant gratification. Oh, I don't like how you said that, so I'm going to go to the next. Right. next. I think that's in dating. I think that's in friendship. Right. Is I didn't get what I wanted from you, so I'm going to go to the next option because it's available. So we've lost the value of really investing and working through the hard. I mean, we don't like the hard anymore. And somehow we thought it right. went away, but it didn't. And right. covenant is hard. It is a lot of work, but the reward is beautiful. The investment that you make when you can walk with someone for, like you said, 40 years, they know you to a level that is beautiful, and they yes. actually add so much to your life, but it comes with hard. And, right. Life is hard. And I think we need to embrace that. It's part of what makes it rich is the work that we put into it.
Yes. That's so well said. Covenant. What a lost art that is. The idea of covenant. I think that's been lost. I certainly don't think about it in the context of friendship very often, but I think it's powerful mm-hmm. because we are in a society. If I don't like what I'm getting from you, I will trade you in for something I do like. Yep. If you're a friend and you hurt me, mm-hmm. I'm done. And that doesn't yield good fruit over the long haul, does it?
No. And that's part of it. You know, we lack the skills of developing good communication. We lack the skills of really seeking to understand rather than to agree. I think that's a lot of things that gets broken down, is we think communication is, how can I get you to agree with me? And that's a lot of friendships, is that we're looking for agreement instead of understanding and deep relationships. And that's the hard part. And a lot of people think, you know, communication is around waiting to talk, but it's a lot of listening. And so much of this is wrapped up in being a healthy person. And what you can bring to a covenant is these skills that I'm learning how to set and how to build and find like-minded people.
So great. Yeah. If everybody would just agree with me, we wouldn't have any problems, right? I mean, what's the problem?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So I want to talk about some of the keep your love on principles, and I definitely want to get into the parenting part, which I love what you're doing. I love imperfect parenting by itself, and the imperfect parenting podcast, and this idea of connection over perfection. That is like, what a brilliant concept that is. But I want to start with some of the keep your love on principles. I'm kind of a lightning round. I'm just going to throw you one, and you can run with it. So the number one, be powerful. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
So being powerful is really just the ability of, I am not going to adjust or change my standard or what I'm needing because your poor reaction. So a lot of times I like to put being powerful as the context is somebody's having a really bad day. And if I choose to let their bad day change my attitude, and then I spread the bad attitude, it's, I've lowered the standard of my own ability to manage myself. And this is social media on display, is there's a bunch of powerless people that are complaining and whining because somebody had a bad day. And then I chose to make that my bad day. That's what I think about for my generation, is I'm seeing a lot of the lack of ownership of, no, this is mine to own and I will choose this. And I can, and I know what that means to stay powerful instead of becoming a victim to something.
That's good. I love it. Choose love over fear.
Yeah. And for this, you know, the aspect of friends or marriage is so hard to quiet the voice of fear, because fear brings out our worst self. So if I can lean into that, I'm going to love you regardless of what you do, because I'm a powerful person, I'm going to manage myself, I'm going to keep that loud. As soon as I let fear set in, I'm scared usually. And so that worst version of myself comes out. Usually it results in trying to control something, or I disappear. So keeping love loud and on the surface brings out our best self instead of our worst self.
Oh, I love that. Pursue the goal of connection. So talk about connection, because this is a word that's obviously very, very prominent in all of your work, mm-hmm. is the connection. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think, again, all of our tools build on top of each other, but connection is the place where we gain the most influence. So if we have low levels of connection in our relationship, we have low levels of influence. So in a marriage context, if I have low levels of connection with you and I want to talk to you about a problem I'm frustrated about, I probably won't do a very good job because we're not connected, which means you can't hear my heart. So the goal is really to keep that connection the biggest priority. And I think my dad says it, Ben says it, my husband, the biggest problem in the world that you could have is a disconnect, especially in those covenant relationships. So with my kids, with my spouse, if we're disconnected, that's the biggest thing I'm trying to get reconnected, because that is the place where we thrive, is when we're connected to one another.
That's so well said. Wow. Yeah. Practice respectful communication.
I love this one because I'm pretty spicy. That's the joke, is I'm really, really spicy. And if you're familiar with DISC, I'm a high D. If you're familiar with Strength Finders, I'm command number one. So I can come off intense. And so my husband is the exact opposite. So having respectful conversations is really that I know how to set a good boundary with how you're communicating. So if I come in too hot and heavy, my husband knows how to say, I would love to have this conversation as soon as your voice sounds like mine. And it's my job to honor that. It's my job to realize, oh, I am being disrespectful. And I like to say that sarcasm, which is really loud in our house, we have lots of fun with sarcasm, but it can be candy-coated disrespect, which means it's sweet going in, but it can be really bitter once it settles. So I think, having respectful communication is knowing what's your part to own. Are you bringing high levels of respect when you are communicating? Is it laced with sarcasm? Is it laced with disrespect? Is it laced with control or fear? And this is just all of our job to manage and remember, what am I bringing to this conversation and what is mine to own when we're having this exchange?
That's so good. And then boundaries is the last one. Boundaries obviously is kind of become a thing over the last however long, where people are talking a lot about their boundaries. When you think about honoring healthy boundaries, what does that mean?
I think boundaries is the number one thing that we get questions about. And it's really hard, because if you're wired to where you have super high value and priority for relationships and you set a boundary, it's the other people that get offended at your boundaries is usually why we remove them. And so knowing that this boundary is actually made to protect something and understanding that's the goal of boundaries. Now, punishment is that I don't ever have a way of restoring the relationship. I just have an iron wall. But boundaries is I have a brick wall that has a door, which means if you can be respectful, honoring, keep your love on, I'll open that door. It might just start with the little window, but it's that we're going to try this. I think that's the difference between boundaries and punishment, but that's gotten really confused nowadays is we just set a punishment wall instead of a boundary. And it's usually because we're offended. So being mindful of what your heart's intention is really key to learning how to set healthy boundaries is, do I have the goal of restoration and connection at the end of this? Or do I just want to remove you forever? And it's, I think we've confused the two.
That is really well said. That's my wife and I have been having this exact conversation just in terms of just dynamics in our life and circle that where something we're sometimes, I think people can just use this term boundaries as a way of saying, you know, it's over.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that seems like punishment to me.
It definitely is punishment. And that's the hard part is that a lot of times, especially now, we love the word boundaries. We, you know, the self-awareness movement and self-help is really big. And we've learned all these really great terms, but we only have little snippets of what the actual context is, thanks to social media. So diving in and understanding that a boundary really should be rooted in connection. But we use it as a punishment tool as a place to keep ourselves safe from what feels like something that's scary or threatening to us.
Right. Oh, that's a great distinction. So let's talk about parenting now. And I know that this has been something you've thought a lot about, written about, talked about. Imperfect parenting, connection over perfection.
Yeah.
You know, we've, my wife Susan and I have talked about this where we've seen like the greatest Christian family mm-hmm. have three kids or four kids or two kids, and like one goes here and one goes there, right? And you're going, how did these people come out of the same household? And I think for parents who faithful people trying their best, it can be devastating. Mm-hmm. How do you talk to parents? How do you encourage parents in this like unbelievable adventure called parenting that can be very difficult?
Yeah. You know, that's the hard part about parenting is we can't control these little people, you know? So if they make a decision, especially when they become adults or teenage years and they go down a different path than what we've ever intended, this is the place where most parents make that really hard pivot of, okay, well, I'm scared, so I'm going to control, I'm going to limit, I'm going to be more aggressive, I'm going to be more demanding. And then we lose any level of connection that we had. And so I meet with so many parents and really try to get them to refocus, like the level of connection you have is the level of influence. And these kids, they crave, we're designed for connection. And so we're already on the winning side for that, but leaning in and doing it correctly, I think a lot of times it's woven in between that place of fear or trying to control. So if we can prioritize connection and do a really good job of speaking the way that they hear love, we actually do a better job of maintaining connection through whatever season they may go through. And I tell parents that all the time, what you're sowing right now, you may not see the harvest for a few years, but can you hold on? Can you stay steadfast? Can you lock into the biggest goal you could ever have is to love that child so well that they encounter the love of Jesus? And that from that place, they reference back, go, oh, that's right. I remember mom loving me when I was scary, when I was broken, when I was out of control. But it's this place of connection, which is the most beautiful posture we can take towards our kids.
Yeah, it's just so good. And it's not, so you're talking about connection. You're not talking about enabling. Like you're not talking about enabling bad behavior. You're not talking about enabling addiction or enabling. I mean, because I think sometimes people get confused about what love is. Love is, you know, a pretty important word. And I say it often, love is not a what, love is a who. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at God and we look at what love is like, it's not sometimes what our culture says it is it?
And that's the thing, is love doesn't mean that it's agreeing or permission, and neither is connection. In the last couple chapters of my book, we talked through a really hard situation where my daughter made some horrible decisions and really painful and really messy. And that didn't mean I was like, all right, honey, you know, go for it. Right on. You know, this is your years of figuring it out. No, it was lots of really hard boundaries and staying the course. But in those hard boundaries, because I am still your parent, I'm still leading you. You are not 18 yet. This is my home. These are our rules. But the biggest thing that's loud in the midst of our boundary is I want to do whatever it takes to stay connected to your heart, which is so uncomfortable as parents because we get rejected by our kids because we won't agree with them or give them permission. And I think that rejection sets parents back. And so they don't know what to do because it's devastating to be rejected by your child. And that's where we get scared and we just kind of quit, especially in those teen years. That's at least what I've experienced.
Yes. God is playing the long game, isn't he? That's one of the things I've thought about recently. God really is playing the long game. A lot of the times I think we're playing checkers and he's playing chess. Like we're just thinking about our, you know, what is it? Our view is not his view. Like our thoughts are not his thoughts. I think sometimes with parenting, it can be, there's a fear that comes in. I was a bad parent. We're doomed. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like just this, oh my gosh, what have I done? It's my fault. And it's, you know, okay, now I'm just going to suffer. Now I'm just going to suffer because I sucked and did this, or in this season, I didn't do the right thing, or I didn't. How do you take parents off the hook, Brittany, when you're thinking about this and the long game that God is looking at, the long view of love and connection? What do you say to people?
Well, failure's definitely going to come and you're going to make lots of messes as parents. But if you hold yourself to this goal of perfection, you will always lose. And so I think the biggest thing for parents is getting to the place of, all right, clean up your mess. If you made a mess with your kids, clean it up. And humility is an amazing tool for leadership because I want to follow a humble leader. I want to follow someone that isn't afraid to do that. And that's what we are. We're leaders in our home. And paying attention to, all right, I got to get back up. I got to keep leading these troops. We're not done. We're not finished with this. We still have a long way to go. So if I disqualify myself as their leader because I don't believe in myself, then how will we ever be successful? So, I mean, I remember there's a story in my book about making a huge mess with my 2-year-old son and just, it was awful. And I had to forgive myself. And that was probably the hardest part of leading was cleaning up my mess and then forgiving myself and getting back in the game. And that's what I want to give to parents is that get back in that game. You had a bad day. You got to get up and do it again tomorrow because they need you so desperately.
Yeah. You know, parents that ask for forgiveness, I didn't even, you know, that was something I thought about somewhere along the line. We have 5 kids and we we're in the thick of Teenageville right now. So we're just exhausted. But you know, asking for forgiveness, that humility, I agree. I remember I asked a mentor, I don't know how old our kids were. I'm like, is it like, do you like ask for forgiveness as a parent? And he's like, absolutely. Are you kidding? And it was like new information, like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I'm doing it like twice a week, you know, or whatever, but it is interesting when the giant lies down kind of when the leader says, hey, I was wrong. You know, that I think that does open the door. Number one to connection, but number two to it's okay to screw up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's something that's important for families, that a culture of it's okay to make a mistake or have a problem.
Right. I mean, our kids are going to make lots of messes along the way. And if they see that failure isn't final, then they have hope that, okay, I can keep going. And we get to be the leaders. And I think that's the biggest thing I'm trying to remind parents is you are the leader of your home. And so what's the job that you want to do? Do you want to do a good job or bad job? Most of them want to do a really good job. All right, what is required? The other thing is that you have to keep growing as your kids grow. Because if I stay the same parent to my 2-year-old as my 12-year-old, I'm actually going to be stunted in my growth as a leader. And so I will, my child will outgrow me if I'm not willing to grow myself.
Wow, that's a brilliant thought. The Imperfect Parenting Podcast is the platform, one of them. Brittany Serple has been my guest. There's also it's KYLO, which stands for Keep Your Love On. KYLO. You can go to the KYLOshow.com. There's a weekly podcast hosted by Danny Silk, who is Brittany's father. Wonderful guy. By the way, just tell your dad I quote him like twice a day. He's what an amazing guy he is. I want to close with this because I think sometimes we can get in the weeds sometimes in parenting because that's where we live. We live in the weeds. We live in the latest crisis oftentimes. Again, I'm in Teenageville, so that's the way I'm thinking right now. But this is the single greatest opportunity I think any human being ever has to put another person on the planet.
Yeah.
Like for two people to get together and bring forth a person onto Earth. It's a big deal, isn't it?
It is. It's a beautiful gift, and it should be full of enjoyment, and it should be full of adventure. And that's really what I think God's design for family was when he created this be fruitful and multiple command that he did in the very beginning, was that we would have so much joy out of this gift called parenting. It is really a beautiful gift. And I hope that parents fall in love with the gift rather than be exhausted and discouraged by it. And so that's my hope for my book and this new movement we're on of imperfect parenting is we're all messy, but you know what? Let's look at these little people as a gift and do the best job we can.
Yeah, you can really, this is really the way you can change the world, in my opinion. You want to change the world? Think about your family. I mean, I think that's the biggest opportunity we have. I mean, everything. So anyway, I love what you're doing. Love your family. Love this whole thing. So important. Really has impacted, again, my wife and us and this idea of connection, especially. So thank you, Brittany.
Thank you so much.
And thank you all for joining us. Wonderful, wonderful interview. We'll see you next time.